What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and happy Thursday. It's the Thursday before a long weekend. It is our last show of the week. Yeah.
Very exciting, the Thursday before a long weekend. The long weekend. I already broke out my white pants.
You're being extremely brave. Breaking.
I'm very hasty.
Fashion police, white pants.
White pants a few days before Memorial Day. Big deal. But I actually got a targeted ad for these, and I was influenced.
Those?
And they're so gorgeous. They're Spanx. They're like these white pants, trouser slash jeans that don't, you can't see through anything. They're so thick.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was influenced, and it was the real deal. I'm feeling very glad with my purchase.
There's something about those targeted ads. They know me better than I know myself.
Of course. Like all the clothes, baby clothes, like makeup, they just are constantly serving me premium content, even though they're eavesdropping on my entire
fucking
life.
Using the data.
No, like if I say today, let me say something that I would like never say.
Yeah, but like scream it into your phone.
Of something that I would buy. What's something I would never buy?
Ferrari. I want a Ferrari.
I would love a Ferrari. They're just the most gorgeous cars.
Yeah.
I have my license, so I can't wait to drive my Ferrari when I get one.
Good girls drive Ferraris.
Oh, sickening.
Sickening. We've got a great show for you guys today. Jax is back. Thank you so much. I know you had a really rough day yesterday, and we at the Morning Toast support. Yesterday's episode was fabulous. We missed you, but we got through it.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
I'm back. It was a very rough day yesterday. We also did record a podcast together for the Patreon and general Q&A. And it's just been a really shitty week, like on a larger scale. I know you talked about the Uvalde mass shooting yesterday, and it's just like making me so sick.
No, there's like a heaviness, and like, and I think everyone can feel it.
Yeah. And so I commend you for doing a show yesterday, because I like,
well,
it's been permeating like every single thought.
I know. I wasn't sure like whether it was inappropriate or not. Because honestly, like there was an element that I was like, how can we literally talk about anything else?
Right.
But I think it's really like messing with people, and like people are getting, you know what sucks? It's like this is becoming so frequent. It's like I think a lot of people also feel desensitized, which is horrible. So I just wasn't sure what the right thing to do yesterday was. I'm glad we did a show. We were able to talk about it a little and then just like take everyone's minds off of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just like a terrible like feeling in the air for everyone.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's come, like these kids,
their pictures and the teachers. It's so sad.
I can't.
I know.
Anyways, I just would feel RDH if we didn't
talk about it
today. And we do have a good show. We actually have some good stories.
Finally. Well, you know, yesterday we had some, like, we had bad stories yesterday, but that's because I tried to tailor them. Like, the shit we are so invested in, like, Brian literally doesn't know who we're talking about. So I had to pick the stories, like, to be a little tailored to Brian, which in turn,
I liked it.
Okay.
You have to meet people where they are.
Yes.
And also, like, I think when you have a guest co-host or a guest, like, lean into what their expertise is. Like, I don't even have global entry, so we're not going to talk. Like, I'm not a travel expert whatsoever. I'm probably the opposite of a travel expert, like, doing everything
wrong.
Do
you even have TSA PreCheck?
No.
That's literally disgusting.
I do have Clear, though. Mm. And Zach has PreCheck, and he has no problem going through without me.
Yeah, that's me and Ben. I'm like, Ben, I will literally meet you in the lounge.
I know, but I have Clear, and I don't think he does.
Ben has Clear. Ben has what you have, Clear, no TSA PreCheck. I have Clear and TSA PreCheck.
We pretty much get there around the same time.
Yes, I completely agree. But yesterday I did apply for global entry. I'm waiting to be like accepted.
Yeah, I need to do that as well because I'm tired of taking out my computer, my iPad, and my Kindle.
Shoes.
And my shoes, of course.
I can't believe you still do that. I haven't done that in years.
I know. Also, like, the computer, iPad, Kindle, they don't all fit in one tray.
Got it.
So.
You can't stack them?
No, you can't stack them. They'll literally come for your neck.
Yeah.
They're crazy. and they're so, I feel like in TSA pre-check line, like, maybe they're a little kinder, or because, like, there's less to do, things just go more smoothly.
That's not what it is.
They get so fucking fed up.
Let me tell you why.
In the general line.
I know why. In the general airport security line, if you're in that line, that means you don't have pre-check, you don't have clear, like, you don't have a bunch of the, like, fancy traveler things. So you're not a regular traveler, and you don't know the rules. So it's really, like, moron central in that line. And the TSA pre-check / clear line is filled with frequent travelers who know exactly what to do. Yeah, take your belt off. Like, these are people who have done this many times and they know what to do, so it moves more seamlessly. So the TSA agents don't need to be so stern.
And they also have less to do. So not only are they able to do it, but there's less.
So it really shouldn't be TSA pre-check and not TSA pre-check. It should be morons and not morons.
And you're calling me and Ben morons.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, if you don't have TSA pre-check, like, I don't know what you're doing.
Did you hear that?
Your credit card, like, will give you a rebate for it, so it is literally free.
She called mommy a moron.
Streis and Bryce and Streis are here
in spirit,
which is still good.
These comfort pillows, someone asked where they're from.
I have no idea.
Okay, the tag says handmade, but it also says Art Mom.
Yeah, so, no, it says Art Mon.
So do with that what you will. And these were gifts from Toasters at Claudia's show. So please speak up in the comments if you created
Molly and
them.
Shannon.
Molly and Shannon. And so that other people can get their comfort pillows.
Yeah, they're really like a burst of joy.
They really, really are. Much like the men themselves. So we have a lot to talk about. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was on last night.
And I want to give like a comprehensive recap, but I'm physically unable because I have no idea what went down in that episode. I was trying to follow everyone's like arguments about hypocrisy and like relating it back to their own feelings and validating feelings, and I have literally no idea what happened.
Same, but do you know how sometimes when like people are having a conversation and you like feel like they did that to you, but it's hard to see it from Crystal's point of view, but I feel like I know that feeling of being like, you guys are talking about exactly what you did to me, and what about me?
But it wasn't exactly what, like, she was, her jump to make her situation similar to Sutton's was, like, extremely large, and I couldn't follow it.
Fair. No, I agree. I really couldn't follow it. And I also don't know, like, whose side I'm on in general. Like, who I want to see thrive. Because sometimes it's Sutton, and then other times it's, like, and I also really want to like Diana, but she's coming in, like, on Rinna's team.
And she came in just, like, randomly going against Sutton, and then they had to get in the car together.
Right, no, but then she was, like, she was going against Sutton, but then she was also, like, but Sutton always apologizes. Like,
right.
Where do you stand? And why does everybody else, like, I don't know why I feel like I want, like, to like Diana so much.
Me too.
And I feel like the women like want Diana to like them.
Yes, they want Diana on their side.
Like, she's coming in a really strong position.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's well respected.
Yeah.
It's because she has a lot of money.
Yeah, but they all have a lot of money. Like, Sutton came in with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they don't feel that way about Sutton.
Because she came in weird. Like,
right. No, there's like something just cool about
her. Yeah, she has a cool factor for sure.
She does.
It's like the European rich thing.
Yeah, but it's also just her personality. Because all of these women are wealthy, they all have wealthy friends, and they all run in cool circles. Like, there's, you know, so they're pretty much used to that.
Well, we'll get into it in the TV recap. But before that, I do believe it is time
for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Luminous Breeze. We don't have a ton of time to get ready in the morning, so we're always looking for a way to put on makeup faster and easier. It's impossible for us to find the perfect tone of makeup because it never matches. So that's why you've got to check out Luminess and their new Breeze Cordless Airbrush Makeup. The Breeze is a completely touchless way to put on foundation, and it's so fast and easy to use. No sponges, brushes, or fingers required. With Luminess, you get 3 times more coverage while using 10 times less makeup. It's designed to work with all skin types, skin tones. Their water-based foundation is quick and easy, and it covers fine lines, wrinkles, it conceals imperfections, and it applies flawlessly in seconds. They have 18 shades, so they've got a color for every skin type, and they will replace your shade for free if it doesn't match. Their product is cruelty-free, it's made in the USA, and it has an 18-hour wear, so there's no need to reapply your makeup in the middle of the day. Also, I love how portable it is. Like, when I'm on tour, it's really not that big. You throw it in your cosmetics case, you can throw it in your purse, touch yourself up at work. It's really like the new way of doing makeup. and it's super clean, hands-free, and it's really fun. So if you've been looking for makeup that doesn't feel heavy or look cakey on your face, you will find it with Lumines Breeze Airbrush, just like we did. Whether you're heading back to the office, updating your beauty routine, or just looking for a better, faster way to put on foundation, we've got good news. Right now, if you go to breezetoday.com/toast and put in promo code toast, you'll receive 50% off the Airbrush makeup system, plus free shipping. And because you're a listener here, there's a special free eyeliner valued at over $20 included just for you. That's 50% off plus free shipping when you go to breezetoday.com/toast and put in promo code toast. Don't forget, you get 30 days to try out the Lumines Breeze, and if you don't love it, send it back for a full refund.
Great. Okay, our first story. We have a lot of young Hollywood news today, and they're all sort of intertwined.
I love.
Love.
As a striving member of young Hollywood, I love talking about them.
Totally striving.
Beyond striving. As striving, a flailing.
Striving to be young.
Striving to be in Hollywood. And you know what? I'm getting further away from both, and that's just, it's devastating.
Well, Jacob and Lordi and Olivia Jade Giannulli are dating officially, Us Weekly reported on Tuesday. Both the Euphoria star and the Dancing with the Stars alum recently split from former partners, so they are reportedly taking their new romance slowly. They both got out of relationships recently, so they're not rushing into anything, says a source. They were spotted together playing with a dog, being just like so cute and casual.
She was wearing a hoodie and tights, which was really shocking to me.
Yeah, but that's how casual they are.
Right.
You know, because... there were probably,
looks like she fell asleep in her outfit from the night before and then just threw on a hoodie. I was like shocked
just
by the fashion.
Just to like walk the dog. Also, right. Like the socks and the sneakers. Mm-hmm. This is just giving like, we've been together a million times. I don't care how I look around him now.
Yeah. So it was reported that they were like maybe like hanging out. It hasn't been officially confirmed that they're dating. And now that it is, like, I can just say how overjoyed I am.
Yeah.
I think this is the cutest couple. I think they really emulate like fabulous, young, rich, famous. Like, I love it.
Yeah, and they're also really in different industries, which works because yeah. He's like very much TV and film, and she's an influencer, mm-hmm. social media, podcaster.
She's like a socialite now, honestly.
Yeah, so I think that's a recipe for success. Like, you're not competing for shows. You're not like someone's having more success in one arena, and you guys can like balance each other more. So
yeah.
I think this has all the makings of everything of the sortness. Mm-hmm. It's just they're so young, so like I think eventually, you know, they're not gonna get married.
And this like group of young Hollywoods who all look alike, they all date like
each other,
and they all the boys look alike, all the girls look alike. So for me, like, this just reminds me like when he was spotted with Kaia Gerber.
Well, they were together,
yeah, but for a long time.
Yeah. And they remember those red carpet pictures from that
LACMA
there was LACMA, but then there was also like this like Hollywood Museum.
LACMA.
That's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like LA County Museum of Arts or something. I think.
LACMA.
Yeah, sorry. I was confusing. He was spotted with Zendaya like twice, but I don't think it was ever actually confirmed that they were dating. So yeah, it's just like this young Hollywood like train, and I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Because they're all just so gorgeous. And whether you want to admit it or not, like watching beautiful people be beautiful with each other is exciting.
It is exciting. I also love the height difference. Like, it's just...
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
All great relationships have like enormous height differences. I firmly believe that. It's so cute. Except like, sorry, not to be like so heteronormative, but like only when the guy is taller.
Why? What about Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban? A great
iconic relationship. Iconic relationship.
Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Iconic relationship. Iconic relationship.
I think it goes both ways.
I think you're right.
Something to think about.
I love a height difference. I really do.
Yeah. This picture is just like everything.
No,
I can't explain it.
And I'm so happy for Olivia. I feel like definitely coming off a few hard years.
Yeah.
And then just to exit dating the hottest man in Hollywood, like that takes courage. It takes perseverance. And I'm just, you love to see a girl coming out of a scandal with Jacob Elordi on her arm. Like, that doesn't happen to anyone.
No. Did you see this picture of her leaving his house after spending the night?
Oh, iconic. No,
it's
I didn't.
It's really, she's not wearing shoes. It's really giving, like, we're together. This is my boyfriend. I don't give a shit what I look like anymore around him.
Yeah, she's carrying a lot of bags, so it does look like he won't give me a drawer. But maybe they're working there.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it's, like, her makeup and things. Like,
right. It's just to film a vlog.
Right. Maybe it's her vlog equipment.
Right. Do you think, like, we'll get to a place where, like, Jacob Elordi's in a vlog? I'll literally die.
Does
like,
she really even vlog anymore?
Like, once every 6 months. It's
and
so annoying.
She has
like,
a podcast.
Yes.
So, I don't think so.
No, I would just love to see, like, you know, weekend in Malibu vlog, and then he's, like, in the background making a cocktail or something.
Of course.
That would be gorgeous.
That would be. Anyway, so speaking of Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jade, it does lead us into our next story circumstantially. Austin Butler is finally addressing Vanessa Hudgens' breakup 2 years later. So Austin Butler, he is a man about town right now. Elvis, we've been talking about it for 6 years, is finally coming out in June. He's in Cannes. He's on the cover of GQ. And he's talking about his relationship with Vanessa Hudgens, which did span 10 years. And then all of a sudden, they're not together.
It's devastating. And then all of a sudden, they're not together. And he's reaching like his
blowing up
career peak.
Yeah. And I wonder how that feels for her.
It can't feel good.
No. Like, I feel like the whole time they were together, like she knew he was going to be a star.
Like she believed in him when no one else did.
Yeah. And she gave him 10 good years.
Yeah, of her life.
And then they break up and he hits big.
It ain't right.
No, it ain't. But he said that life is full of changes. You've got to find a way to be constantly evolving and growing.
Like for a while, Vanessa Hudgens was the only thing keeping Austin Butler relevant. Like if they hadn't dated and I wasn't like weirdly obsessed with their relationship, I literally would have forgotten he existed.
Yeah, but then he was dating Kaia Gerber.
Well, no.
No, I'm sorry. Now he is dating Kaia Gerber. And Kaia Gerber used to date Jacob Elordi. That's how everyone knows
it's
each
this
other.
Incestuous little young Hollywood crew.
And Austin Butler, he's doing a lot of press for Elvis, again, can't stop talking about it. Baz Luhrmann, it's going to be the thing. It better be a good movie.
Jackie, you don't even have TikTok. They have blown up on TikTok. First of all, they had a huge party last night in Cannes because it's Cannes Film Festival. They flew out all these TikTokers. All these TikTokers are making content. They have a TikTok account for Elvis. They were live streaming the party. Like, they are doing the most on TikTok. So if you think you're seeing it a lot, you don't even know the half of it.
Oh, wow. Well, him and Kaia, like, were smooching on the red carpet.
Dead. Okay. Austin Butler is so hot. Like, and you know what? I haven't seen him act since Zoe 101, so I don't even know if he's talented.
Carrie Diaries, you love.
Carrie Diaries. That show was so good. Like, justice for Carrie Diaries. Even though, like, the only problem with the Carrie Diaries was that it was supposed to be a Sex and the City prequel. And, like, Anna Sophia Robb and Sarah Jessica Parker, like, no. It wasn't working.
Like, she wasn't giving Carrie.
They both had curly hair. But, like, I could just not see this girl, Anna Sophia Robb, turning into the annoying bitch we currently know as Carrie Bradshaw. That's the fatal flaw of the Carrie Diaries. It should have been called, like, the Jackie Diaries. Like, it should have been called literally anything else.
It should have been called the Jackie Diaries. I agree.
Maybe then it would have gotten a third season.
Probably not, because everything I love gets canceled.
So I just want to say, like, this moment that Austin Butler is having, Met Gala, Cannes Film Festival, Kaia Gerber, this movie, like, very here for it. And then we've been talking about the Elvis movie for a while. And, like, every young, hot, talented actor in Hollywood went out for this role. Harry Styles. He would have been great. And the fact that it was Austin Butler, like, is so crazy and random, because he was, like, so random. The only thing keeping him, in my opinion, was Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
So I actually am really sad that they broke up, even though I stan him and Kaia.
Yeah. Me too. Agreed on all counts. And I'm glad that the role went to him, because he wasn't a movie star before. And, like, now we have one more movie star, as opposed to it being Harry Styles, who, like, can't get any bigger.
Right. That's true. But I have to see the movie first. And I just want to say, like, I've seen a lot of, like, trailer footage on TikTok. And I don't think it's fair to judge, but it's giving, like, it's giving community theater acting.
No.
Just what I've seen really small clips of. Honestly, the clips that I've seen, I'm just like, no, that's not Elvis. Like, I can't explain it in the sense, like, he doesn't really look like Elvis.
Interesting. He does look like Austin Butler, like, with playing Elvis hair. On Hannah Montana.
Yeah, right.
I agree.
So I have to see the movie. I don't think it's fair to make any judgments, and I will be seeing the movie. But, yeah.
I'm trying to look for a review. There was one on Variety this morning.
Oh.
But also, I don't really care about reviews. I want to see the Rotten Tomatoes audience meter score.
That is the only true metric on the internet, period. Not even just covering movies, period.
Yeah, agreed. Are you ready for our next story? Which you're going to really take the lead on, because Kate Moss testified for ex Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
She said he never pushed me, kicked me, or threw me down any stairs. Kate Moss testified that Johnny Depp never pushed her down any stairs when they were dating in the 90s. On Wednesday morning, the British model appeared via live video link in front of, looking like a snatcher. Radiant. In front of the Fairfax, Virginia courtroom to address a reference that Depp's ex-wife Amber Heard made in previous testimony about Kate Moss and stairs.
Let me just give, like, for those who don't know.
Okay.
So,
in layman's terms,
Johnny and his team had wanted Kate to testify because they dated for a while, and she could testify that he was never physically abusive. And Amber's team, and they were right, legally, it's irrelevant, you know? Like, it's not about what he did to Kate Moss. So they weren't allowed to have her testify. But then when Amber Heard was on the stand, she accidentally brought up the staircase incident with Kate Moss, which then opened the door. Once it's brought into the courtroom, then it's fair game. So she brought it in. She like slipped up. And that's the only reason why Kate Moss was added in last minute yesterday. Her testimony was super short, 3 minutes in, out. Nothing happened. I fell down the stairs. We were in like a water villa and the stairs were wet. It had rained. I slipped down the stairs. Johnny picked me up, threw me in the bed, not threw me in the bed, put me in the bed, got me medical attention. And literally that's it. During our entire relationship, he was never physically abusive. But I've really gotten into the trial recently because at first I was getting all my information from TikTok. And shockingly, I don't feel like that's accurate, because then I started tuning into the trial every day. And if you just read like headlines, like even TMZ is very pro Johnny. If you read just headlines and just like fan edits on TikTok, you're like, oh, Johnny's winning this trial. When you tune into the trial, I have to say, and everyone was saying was like, Amber's lawyers are like backwards.
Clowns.
Like,
yeah.
That's not really not what I see. I think they're doing like a pretty decent job. And honestly, Johnny will lose this case. And that's not because, in my opinion, was he physically abusive? I don't know. But he will lose the case because the point of the case, it's very difficult. In order to win a defamation trial, Johnny Depp has to prove that he was not physically abusive to Amber. And a lot of what they're proving is that Amber was also physically abusive and Johnny wasn't abusive to his other girlfriends. Like, it's very hard to prove that he wasn't, that what Amber said was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Kate Moss can help, that still doesn't prove that he didn't do X amount of things to Amber. So I've been watching it now, getting like a more balanced take from it. I do think Johnny went into this case not with the intention of winning, but with the intention of changing public perception.
And I think that he has done that.
And I think that is fully complete. Now, yesterday was also an interesting day in the trial because a staff member at TMZ had to testify. And TMZ like submitted a motion like they don't want to be a part of it. Yada, yada. It got denied. The guy had to. He had to testify. And what they were testifying was like, Amber had this relationship with TMZ. She was the one who sold them. You know the video of the cabinets being slammed? She obviously took that video, and there's proof that she sold it to TMZ. And right now, like, the owner of that video is TMZ. So they didn't really want to be a part of it, but there's like this long paper trail of Amber having like an established relationship with TMZ. So the guy had to get on the stand. It was like really awkward. So yesterday was like a crazy day in the trial. It is coming to an end. I think it's over tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't think Johnny will win.
Right. So that will mean he has to pay her lawyers, right?
I don't know, because that's different in every state.
Okay.
So he's suing her for $50 million and she's then suing him for $100. If he loses, which I do predict, because it's really borderline impossible to win a defamation suit, I don't know what that means for Johnny. And I know Johnny has a lot of money, but I don't think he has $150 million
just to, like,
to spare.
Give away.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I do think,
especially now that he's pretty much, according to his testimony, unemployable. Like, no one will employ him.
I think
him.
That's going to change after this.
I think it will too.
I don't think people have ever like loved Johnny Depp more than they do now. There's never like been more
which
interest.
Which is so bizarre.
It is so bizarre. He like lost that movie, right? Because
Pirate
of,
Six.
Right. I think maybe it could be back up for, because like how many people, there's like almost a million people watching the trial live every single day. Like, not even waiting. They're watching the primary source. They're not waiting for like a TMZ recap. Yep. Like, there is so much interest in him.
Have you seen outside the courthouse? Like, and it's all women. And it's like literally like hundreds of women, and he like rolls down his window and he's waving. It's like, it's not real. Like,
right, no, I think that those people obviously were Johnny stans before, but now even look at someone like you who literally couldn't give two shits about Johnny before.
No, and I...
Now you're like kind of like, this man has been wronged a little bit.
Yeah. See, I'm really struggling like with where to land, because there's definitely a lot of evidence that their relationship was mutually abusive and like really tumultuous. But Johnny's lawyers, they are doing a great job of like painting him. The way that I perceived him before the trial is definitely different than how I look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very confusing. So I imagine as a juror, you're not going to be able to make any sort of like 100% like proclamation.
Well, it has to be like beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. And it's not. It's every time her lawyers are up there, I'm like, yeah. And then his lawyers are up there, I'm like, yeah. I would make a terrible juror and a terrible lawyer, because I'm just like, whatever the information in front of me is, I'm like, oh my God, that's so true.
That's so true.
No, I would be like, I would have literal whiplash.
You know what you would say? I see both sides.
Yeah, is there an option for a juror to see both sides?
But I think that makes a good juror to see both sides.
Yes, no, whatever jury, if I'm ever a part of, like, it will be a hung jury. Like, I will be that.
She will hang the jury.
I will be that one bitch. I'm like, I really can't decide, you guys. But I'm also, like, a loser who gets, like, swept up to peer pressure. So if everyone was like, no, come on, like, we're Team Amber, I'd be like, okay. Sure, whatever you guys say.
Are we going out after?
Right, like, sure. Should we get drinks? Jury drinks? Should we start a group chat? So it's just, it's been a really crazy, like, moment in pop culture.
Yeah.
And to see how, like, certain outlets are reporting on it is really interesting, too. Like, TMZ is, like, extremely pro-Depp. I saw an article, Vogue, like, it's time we believe Amber Heard. So all these different outlets are taking different sides. And I just think what's really being glossed over, my major takeaway from this is, like, I do think it was extremely mutually abusive. But I think a lot of, like, the abuse that Johnny suffered gets, like, overlooked because he's a man.
Right.
And I think, like, that's just an interesting takeaway I have. And I'm by no means an expert. These are just my opinions. It's just been a wild ride, and it's almost over. And I don't even think, I'm not even like, oh my God, what's going to happen at the jury? Like, it's fairly obvious.
I mean, I just wish we could hear from Elon because.
Oh, something very interesting. Elon came up yesterday.
What did he do?
So there's been this whole storyline. So, you know, Amber got a $7 million settlement from Johnny in their divorce.
Okay.
And after she, you know, wrote the op-ed accusing him of physical violence, a lot of people were like, well, how could you accept $7 million from an abuser? She was like, you're right. And she said she was going to donate the money to the ACLU and the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. She pledged the money. And it turns out that those were just pledges. The donations were never actually made. So Amber's like, you know, I will be pledging the money over time, blah, blah, blah. But the, all in all, is the $7 million were really never dispersed, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But then there was this other woman who was friends of Johnny. She was like friend of Johnny and Amber. She was, she's the head of a nonprofit called Art of Elysium. And when Amber was like, I'm giving my $7 million to these two organizations, this woman was like really pissed. Amber's had lived with her for a while. Something, they were really close. She was like, I literally run a nonprofit. Like, and I'm a really small, ACLU is huge. Like, you couldn't have given me something.
Right.
And it was like this whole drama with her relationship with Amber. And then like months later, a $250,000 check came in for Art of Elysium on behalf of Amber Heard from Elon Musk. So Elon is definitely in there. There are a lot of conspiracy theories that Elon is like allegedly, there's no proof of this, the father of Amber's child. Because Amber has a child and she hasn't been vocal about who it's with. So Elon is in the mix.
That's who we need to hear from. That's who could settle all of this, but I don't think we will.
No.
Ever. Like, and not so even in the trial.
A lot period. Of the theories are that, first of all, like, why would Elon want to be a part of this? It's so messy. Elon, every celebrity has their own.
I don't know. I could see Elon wanting to get in there. Get set justice. The record straight.
So a lot of the theories are is that, you know, if hypothetically, allegedly, Elon is the father of Amber's child and Elon might have, you know, some not flattering things to say about Amber, he wouldn't do that to the mother of his child. Like, he wouldn't disgrace her publicly, right. Judicially.
Right.
And that's why he decided to, you know, wash his hands of it.
Got it. Very interesting. Thank you.
There's just so many celebrities involved in this, you know, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I have to say, some of you Johnny stans are, like, a little out of control. Like, I'm seeing, like, these fan edits with, like, Pirates of the Caribbean music of, like, Johnny and his lawyer. His lawyer, Camille, who, like, everyone is obsessed with. She's, like, this young, hot associate. She's great at her job, and her and Johnny seem to be very close. And now there's, like, fan edits and, like, fan fiction being made up, like, as if they're dating.
Oh, my God.
It's out of control, honestly.
Okay.
That's okay. Where I draw the line. Like, I'm not there.
Are you ready for our next story, then?
If it's a story that's brought to you by Splendid Spoon.
It is. What a splendid spoon that is.
Summer doesn't last forever, so why spend more time than you need on meal planning, grocery shopping, and cooking? With Splendid Spoon, you can make more time to enjoy the season and feel great with plant-based meals that require no prep time. Splendid Spoon sends delicious, plant-based, ready-to-eat meals and snacks right to your door. Their meals are shipped to your door ready to eat, so you'll only lift a finger to press start on the microwave, which, as we were just talking about the other day, as someone who's literally unable to cook one thing properly, Splendid Spoon is a breath of flesh. Splendid Spoon is a breath of fresh air. They fit into any schedule, and there's a meal plan for everyone, and all their meal plans are customizable, so you get what you want every time. So their meals are 100% plant-based. I'm not okay.
And she's just so excited about Splendid Spoon, you guys, that she's twisting up her words.
Yes. So they're 100% plant-based, gluten-free, and GMO-free, and they're always made with plenty of veggies, legumes, healthy fats, whole grains, and spices from all around the world. So even though we're not plant-based girlies, we are kosher, which a lot of times like has a convergence
of
sorts.
It's like a Venn diagram.
Right, exactly. So Splendid Spoon is actually really, really good for us. They have fresh takes on classic dishes like vegan meatballs, marinara noodles, or you can take your taste buds on a journey with exciting dishes like cauliflower tikka soup. They've got smoothies, grain bowls, soup bowls, and noodle bowls for you to discover. Eating plant-based can come with a wealth of benefits like improved energy, sleep, digestion, and complexion. So eat well, enjoy more of your summer with Splendid Spoon. Get started today and save on an entire week of ready-made plant-based meals. Just go to splendidspoon.com/toast for 50% off your first box when you subscribe. That's $50 off your first box at splendidspoon.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Our next story, Jeff Bridges is sitting down with People Magazine and saying that he was pretty close to dying from COVID while he was in chemo for cancer.
Right.
Jeff Bridges has a lot to celebrate these days. He has a new grandson, a new puppy, a new show, and he'll be celebrating his 45th wedding anniversary. But these days, the Oscar winner is simply grateful to be alive after he recently survived non-Hodgkin lymphoma and nearly died of COVID.
I forgot that he was going through that. I forgot.
Yeah. In this week's issue of People, he opens up about his harrowing year and a half that he now calls a bizarre dream. Mm-hmm. It began while he was doing exercises one morning at home and felt something unusual in his stomach. He went to the doctor and was shocked by what they discovered. He had a 12-by-9-inch tumor in his body, like a child in his body. It didn't hurt or anything.
12-by-9?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Huge. He was diagnosed with cancer and quickly began chemo by infusion. Everything was working. The tumor began to shrink. He said, quote, they got a cocktail that worked, and oh man, it worked fast. That thing good. Just imploded. But in January 2021, his health took a turn for the worse when he got COVID. Ugh. The chemo treatment had weakened his immune system, right, and the virus hit him hard. He spent almost 5 months in the hospital where he was in extreme pain and couldn't roll over in bed without calling the nurse to help him with oxygen.
Oh my God.
He said, I was pretty close to dying. The doctors kept telling me, Jeff, you've got to fight. You're not fighting. I was in surrender mode. I was ready to go. I was dancing with my mortality.
Aww.
He began to see improvements after the medical team gave him convalescent plasma. He started taking baby steps, he said. Each day brought more strength and more hope. He began working with a physical therapist 3 times a week. And now he is doing well, promoting his new film, The Old Man, co-starring John Lithgow and Amy Brenneman.
Wow, that's a crazy story.
Crazy story.
And, you know, Jeff Bridges is not like a, you know, a celebrity we're often speaking of. He kind of lives a private life. So I had totally forgotten that the last time I really heard about him, he was suffering from cancer.
Yeah.
So much has happened since then. And I love Jeff Bridges. He's literally definition of a PJOM.
Definition of a PJOM. This is a crazy story. To spend 5 months in the hospital, and as, you know, a celebrity, and we don't even know about it. Like, that's how private he is.
Right.
And I'm just so glad he's out the other side.
Same.
And that we can have more wonderful work to look forward to.
Right, like perhaps a Stick It sequel.
Perhaps a Stick It sequel. Maybe it's time.
Yeah, like all these reboots, all these sequels that nobody asks for. Give the people what they want. Give them Stick It 2.
Give them Stick It 2. Like, how hard can it be?
It can't be hard.
So twisted.
It's so offensive.
Agreed. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? I think we could use a song today.
Yeah, my triangle's all the way over there.
Do you want to go get it?
Okay, hold on.
And I will entertain everyone with a little Bryce LARP. Bruno actually came to me this morning and he said something so pivotal.
What did he say?
That he wants to get his own apartment and move in with Magnolia. And I said, Bryce, how, you don't have a job. How are you going to do that?
Maybe he show said, up to work a little bit more.
He said, Mom, can I work for you? Oh. Chief Cuteness Officer.
Did you tell him no, we're not hiring?
I said, Chief Cuteness Officer, that's a role that we need to fill.
Ready? It's the final story. It's the final story. If you're in TSA pre-check, you are not a moron. And that's a magic number.
Our fifth and final story is about some of our favorite girlies.
Who?
You'll never guess.
Oh, let me think. Our favorite?
You'll literally never guess. Okay. I could give you 1,000 guesses.
Okay.
Sophia Grace and Rosie reflect on their life-changing Ellen DeGeneres show experience.
Okay, I just want to say they're not my favorite girlies. Like, I don't really, like...
even though people say we're Sophia Grace and Rosie all grown up. Yeah.
I'm obviously Sophia Grace.
You've seen that meme. We've posted it. It's like Sophia, boy, Sophia Grace and Rosie.
Boy, now. You got my heartbeat running away. Even like a jumping is coming your way. Can't you hear that boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, bass? He got that super bass. Boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, bass. He got that super bass.
You don't know that that's what people say about us?
I had no idea.
And that's literally us. You're Sophia Grace, like, with the voice and the attitude. And I'm Rosie, just, like,
getting sidelined
for the ride. And they look like us, too.
No, they do, definitely.
And have you seen these pictures of them all grown up
Yeah,
now?
Of course. I saw them on the Ellen Show, like, doing their, like, little rap again. And it wasn't as cute.
No, because now Sophia Grace is 19 and Rosie is 15. And they reflected on their countless appearances in both... in which both viewers and celebrities alike fell in love with them. Rosie said, I was so little and so cute, I got hugged and kissed a lot. She was 5 when she first sat down with Ellen, and she said she loved meeting Rihanna. She pushed me up and kissed me. Justin Bieber kissed me on the cheek. And I also loved running around backstage, spying on other celebs like Jennifer Lopez. For Sophia Grace, there was one guy who she will never forget interacting with on the red carpet after covering the award show for Ellen. She said, I saw Drake come in, and I literally shouted, Drake, oh my God. We had candy we were giving to all the celebrities, and that's what we do.
We are Sophia Grace.
And he just kept eating all of them. It's weird because he's just a normal person, really. People are really shook by the new photos that have emerged of Sophia Grace and Rosie.
You know, they're grown up and they're like...
they're grown women.
They're grown women and they're like a little thotty.
No, they're like...
That's what 16-year-olds look like now.
Yeah, and the makeup and everything.
Extensions and the long nails.
Yeah, they are like Instagrammers.
Girlies.
And it's shocking when you see like how we... know them as right. The girls in the tutus, but this is them now. Do you feel old yet? Yes.
No, extremely old. And I have to say, of all the people who have gone viral and like tried to make something of it, I do feel like they've had a really ideal like life.
Yeah, because it's like they had such a great experience when they were kids. I think it was all good. Now, you know, now I know what Sophia Grace looks like today, but if I had like run into her in the store a week ago, I wouldn't have known. And so she was able to really have the best of both worlds.
Normal life, but with also access to like incredible fame and fortune.
Yeah, and now she has like some really fun fact to share when she's, you know, doing an icebreaker with her team in the team building exercise.
I don't know if she's in college or uni yet, but like if she is, that's totally like 2 truths and a lie. I've been on the Ellen Show 16 times.
I met Drake and gave him candy.
Yeah, and then the lie would be like, I'm secretly a natural blonde, you know?
Yes, I do know.
Also, really quickly, do you know what I did yesterday evening?
What?
I recorded an episode. I was a guest on...
I wanted to ask you how it went.
On the official Twilight podcast.
Tell me everything.
Hosted by Ashley Green, obviously, who plays Alice, and her best friend. And they just, like, talked to castmates. They talked to super fans. And I did, like, a little interview, and it was so much fun. Like, I was getting, like, hella choked up. Like...
what did you talk about?
Well, because it's called the Twilight Effect. And so they're like, what has the effect been on you? And I'm like, well, and it... obviously, like, the premium content. But, like, it really keeps my family so close. Like, we're so obsessed when we go on vacation.
No, and
like,
it's the only movie we can all agree on.
So it's, like, I have, like, a wonderful association, obviously, because I love Bella and Edward and I love the whole thing. But also because, like, it reminds me of my family. And she was like, oh, my God, we hear that all the time. It was really – but I did make, like, one major slip up.
Oh, God.
Because it's a show for super fans, and I was there, like, as, you know, a super fan. And they were like, which character, like, would you play? Or I don't forget what the question was, but I was – going through the list of characters, and I was talking about Nikki Reed's character. What's her name?
Rosalie.
Okay, I accidentally said Rosemary, and I was like, I'm supposed to be here as a super fan. I'm like, here I am calling Rosalie Rosemary, and I was so embarrassed, and I do believe they'll edit it out, so I just, like, exploited myself, but, like, I was just out here, you know, trying to be a super fan, and then making, like, enormous, enormous mistakes.
Right. Okay. First of all, I thought what you were going to say was going to be so much worse.
No.
Second of all, they need to know, and they should tell all the listeners, they should do like a thing before, that you have a really terrible memory.
No, I know.
And you can't be expected to remember everyone's name in the movie.
Like, no, but what was so weird is
that's like, just too much for you.
How much else I remember. They were like, what is your favorite line? I'm like, I literally had 1,000. First thing about Charlie, he doesn't have her. Also, I said, like, when I got married, I made Ben watch Edward's vows. And I was like, you need to do this, but better. And obviously he didn't. But one of my favorite lines from the movies, from all 5 movies, is no amount of time will ever be enough with you. but let's start with forever. And it's like this double entendre because they are going to live forever. Right. It was just, it was so fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. When it was over, I'm like, that's it?
That is so fun. So I'm assuming the second one that you shared from the vow, like, other people, it's their favorite,
I'm
too.
I'm sure, yeah. But I'm sure. No, what, she was not expecting me to be like, the thing about Charlie, he doesn't have her. I'm like, it's just like a weird line me and my family, like, picked up on. We, like, say it all the time. And you know what? I also said it was, like,
And people are either like Charlie or not like Charlie.
And I said it was the perfect, way to describe Charlie, because like he was very protective, but he was never around, you know. He doesn't hover.
He does not.
So I thought it was like an accurate character description. It was really, really fun, and it just made me want to watch Twilight again,
which we should do.
100%.
We should do a marathon.
We should go on vacation
and watch it.
I was saying, like, for some reason we only watch it when we're on vacation. It's because we're all together,
of course,
and we can never agree on anything. So after like 10 minutes of scrolling, we're just like, Twilight.
Did she ask what your favorite movie is?
No, she didn't.
You should just read the books.
I know. She asked if I did, and I was like, when I was watching the movies, like, you couldn't pay me $1 million to read a book. Now as an adult with a Kindle, like, it's on my list of things to do, and it totally is.
You should. I think you would enjoy it immensely.
Yeah, no, I think I would too.
And it's like the only way to get more Twilight, because there's more facts and figures in the books.
I know. There's actually like a lot more, allegedly.
Yeah, so that's how you could get more Twilight.
I know.
And then you could also read Midnight Sun, which is the Edward origin story.
I know. We also did like a whole 10 minutes on Peter Foch. Yeah.
What did she say?
And the whole time I was like, me and my sister are always like this. Me and my sister are always like that. And she was like, maybe the question was like, it was just something about the guys, like the guys being hot.
And okay. I'm surprised you remembered. Like, I don't, now that you're saying everything, I'm like, yeah, we have all these like things and thoughts and feelings about Twilight. Maybe if I was doing a podcast, I would like sit down and try and remember all of them. But I forgot about Peter Foch.
Well, oh.
Peter Facinelli is Dr. Cullen.
Oh. Well, what I said, I think it was like, you know, who do you ship with yourself, like from the cast? And I was like, obviously Edward, but like honorable mention, because my sister was telling me about this article she read about like the richest fictional characters in TV history. And Carlisle Cullen, since he's been alive for so long, is actually like one of the top five. And so I would obviously marry him. And she was saying how, like, so many people, like, thirst out for Peter Foch, but only in recent years. And I'm like, well, here's why. First of all, he did that People magazine spread with his, like, stomach out.
With his, like, COVID weight loss.
With his COVID weight loss, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And it was life-changing. Gorgeous. For a lot of us. Really life-changing. And I think the whole vampire aesthetic, I'm like, no one's going to even need to listen to the podcast. No, but listen to it. It was really good. And then we did, like, rapid-fire questions. That whole, like, vampire aesthetic, like, pale skin, light eyes, like, it really works for Robert Pattinson. Some of the other characters, it made them look even hotter. But I think it made Carlisle, like not look so hot. So in real life, when he's, like, brunette with, like, regular color eyes, you realize, like, how hot he is.
Yeah.
So it didn't, people, I don't think, came to the realization until afterwards.
I think it's about the audience growing up. And, you know, when we were younger and we watched the movie, like, Edward is this cool high school guy. But when you're older, like, you look at the board and you're like, Carlisle. He has the stability.
The money.
He's a family man. Mm-hmm. He, you know, has planes, trains. Like, it was so Carlisle's plane that took them on their honeymoon.
100%. And took them back on their honeymoon.
Exactly. Wait, I had one more question. Oh, had she read the books?
I didn't ask, but I gather that she didn't.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I also told her my least favorite movie was Eclipse. Like, the whole newborn thing is so dumb. She said it's her least favorite, too, because she was barely in it.
Maybe that's why we didn't like it either.
100%.
Did she know that Carlisle is top five richest?
No, she didn't know that factoid.
Oh, my. Such a good factoid.
I was telling her, like, he's been alive for so long. Inflation. All that.
And no, and he uses Alice's abilities to see the future to predict stocks. Oh,
right.
Yeah. She didn't even know the role she played in his wealth. Right. She should come for her share.
Well, she asked me a question, and I won't share because I'm spoiling the whole interview, but I'll ask you. Whose power, of all, like, the Cullens, like, whose power would you want?
That's a really great question. I need to think of everyone's. So Alice can see the future. I don't think I would want that. That's too much running through my mind.
Okay.
Edward is super, super strength.
Mm-hmm. No, he can read people's minds.
Oh, right. They're all strong.
Yeah.
You know what? I might want Bella's eventual power to protect the ones I love.
Mm-hmm. I won't say what I said.
Okay. But what'd you say?
I'll tell you later.
No, but I think that the point of the podcast, like, obviously the toasters are going to go listen, but, like, it's for her audience, too, so.
So it's from, I said I would want Jasper's. Jasper can change other people's moods. So it's like, if I'm in a bad mood, like, bitch, you got to be in one too. And if I'm in a great mood, like, want to drink and you don't want to, I'm making you drink.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful tool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that'll be out. I don't know when, but hopefully by the time it comes out, you forgot what I said here.
Exactly.
And let's dive into the TV recap of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode from last night, which is brought to you by Ivory Ella, a lifestyle apparel brand that donates 10% of its profits to Saving the Elephants and other charitable causes. They were launched by college students, and Ivory Ella grew organically into one of the largest and most passionate communities of supporters wanting to make a difference in the world. They've donated over 2 million to date. Ivory Ella continues to deliver good clothes for a good cause. So it was launched by college students and a high school teacher, and they had a super viral launch. They sold 500 shirts in 10 minutes, and they've donated over 500,000 in their first year to Save the Elephants. They've over 2 million donated to charitable causes in general, and a minimum of 10% is donated on all their products. So every time you buy from Ivory Ella, you are making a donation to a cause that is important to you. Some of the charities they support are Save the Elephants, Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Cyber Smile Foundation, Reef Restoration Foundation, the American Heart Association, Hearts and Bones, and more. So with everything you buy, you are helping save the world little by little. All of their clothes are super cute, really comfortable, and very trendy, and you can become a part of the herd. Go get yours with 15% off using code TOAST at ivoryella.com/collections/new-arrivals. So again, if you want that 15% off for cute, comfortable, trendy clothes for you, and then also 10% of the profits going to charitable causes, use code TOAST at ivoryella.com/collections/new-arrivals. All right, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the girlies go to Palm Springs, which is like becoming a tradition I really like.
Yeah, it's funny how we never went to Kyle's house in Palm Springs and now we're going every year. I do think that's also because of COVID.
Yeah, and I think the house is kind of new.
No, I thought...
You like, stole my goddamn house? I don't think that's the house.
Oh, interesting.
So but I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe now she has like a house that can accommodate really almost everyone.
Well, the only thing I don't like is that not everyone can fit in the house. Like last time and this time, there were people staying at a hotel, La Quinta, where Tayshia's season was filmed.
I know, but I feel like not everyone wants to stay in the house. No. Because they could share rooms if they really wanted to all bunk together. But I do think the new girls like want their own space.
Yeah. Diana definitely doesn't seem... Oh, is Diana at the house? No, she's at the hotel. She seems like someone who needs her own space with her glam. I thought it was... Hearing how she travels was beyond interesting.
How she shops. This woman needs her own show because she lives a life that is unreal.
Unreal. Like, the fact that she has hair, makeup, and assistants and, like, housekeepers go to a place before she does, make sure the sheets are good, set up her glam, unpack her clothing, get her food, like... A dream, like literally a dream. When I check into a hotel, I like beeline in there, I throw my suitcase in the corner and I order room service and like go to sleep. Like,
right.
It sounds so luxurious.
No, she literally lives such a fascinating life. She was so uncomfortable in a store.
Yeah.
She like didn't know what to do with herself.
Like, am I supposed to touch this?
But I have to imagine she went to a store before she hit it big.
Well, I don't know. Because if you think about it, she like came from this like war-torn country.
Yeah.
She then lived in London, like literally taking any job to get by. Like she said, dirt poor. And then in a flash, the 1%. So like, it's not entirely impossible that she hasn't been in a store.
Okay.
Like if you think about
it. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about it that way. Because there were 10 years while she was in London before she
got married. But she said she was literally scrubbing toilets.
Right.
Literally doing anything to get by for pennies.
Got it.
So she just has a crazy story, and I just love learning little more bits about, like, her lifestyle, like, regular things that happen to
her. Even her six embryos that she plans on having six more children.
Mm-hmm.
This woman needs her own reality show. I know. Put her in, like, this group setting and act her to just, like, and expect her to act just like a layperson. It's not working for me.
No, it's not working at all. But she was a trooper. She went on the trip. What happened before the trip? Like nothing, right? Oh, they go over to Crystal's house and they're trying to talk about Sutton. And I really respect Garcelle, like being an actual good friend. Like, let's not talk about people while they're not here to defend themselves. And none of us were there, so we can't defend her. So it was kind of
weird that Kyle like brought it up out of nowhere.
But then, and I thought Sutton did a really good job at the store of like addressing it, diffusing it. And it really did not need to be spoken about again. So I don't understand why Garcelle brought it up.
She thought she was doing Sutton a favor somehow, just to like maybe show all the women that Dorit has forgiven Sutton. We can all move on.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It felt like it, like really unnecessary.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think she did Sutton any favors.
No, not at all. But because then it got so messy.
That's what she thought she was doing. They are very good friends, Sutton and Garcelle. And so I think anything Garcelle was doing was just in like service of being Sutton's right. friend.
Agreed.
Just to show the women, like, this has been put to bed. I know you all heard about it from Kyle. Now it needs to be closed with all of you.
Right, because or else we'll just keep talking about it for the rest of the season.
Right, but then things went off the rails.
Things went off the rails. Diana chimed in, and I was like, get out of here. Like, Erica was loving the whole thing because everyone was, like, ganging up on Sutton. And it was just, like, it was over. I just didn't understand what the conversation happening was about because it's over.
Right. And I just don't know where I stand. Like, who do I want to see win these arguments? I really don't know.
I found myself rooting for Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal last night because, honestly, I felt over, like, the last couple of years, like, just this disassociation from that core group. Like, and I used to love them, like, Kyle, Rinna, Erica, Dorit. Like, that, those were my girlies. But I don't know. I don't feel that, like, kinship with them anymore.
Yeah, I think because the group is a little rotten now, especially with, like, Rinna and Erica. And it also seems like they give no fucks anymore about even trying to be nice to new people or whatever. Yeah. Unless it's, like, Diana Jenkins. So, like, you literally have to be her in order to get any it's respect so true. Around here. And then, but you know that, like, Kyle and Dorit and Teddy are so close with them in real life. So it just sort of pollutes the whole group for you.
Seeing Teddy was weird.
I agree. I gravitate towards Sutton, Garcelle, and they're Crystal just, like, very right real,
no bullshit. Like,
but then I don't agree with Sutton's reaction to the Dorit thing.
And I don't agree with Crystal's weird breakdown last night.
Right.
But I think in my heart of hearts, like, I'm secretly rooting for the new girls.
Yeah. No, I am too. More often than I'm rooting for the other girls.
Yeah.
But, like, Dorit, I love.
Okay, and I have to say something. Mm. Kyle and Shahida, and, like, the Kyle store opening, and, like, last, or maybe two seasons ago, the New York Fashion Week show, like, it's giving OC season one, and Beverly Hills is, like, the crown jewel, and all of Kyle's, like, clothing business ventures, like, it's not cutting it.
No, I know, and it's so weird. Like, retail is really not where it's at. Like, obviously, she learned that in the last few years, and now that's what she wants to do again. Yeah. It's surprising, and I don't understand the actual, like, financial
decision. I think Shahida making. Is, like, a not-so-silent partner. Like, I think she has a lot of money. She gives off that vibe. Like,
and so she's just, like, putting Kyle's name on it. And
well, Kyle's always being, like, Kyle by Eileen, Kyle right. ex-Shahida.
Right.
She has, like, money partners because she's a rich woman who knows other rich women.
Yeah. I just don't get the point of it.
Me neither. But Dorit looked good in that outfit.
She did in the clothes. There was tons. I like a store that has a lot of clothes.
Agreed.
Because you go to the store, there's three racks. There's more seats and, like, plants than there are clothes.
No sizes.
And this store had, like, full categories. Like
warehouse vibes.
Leopard. Cheetah.
Yeah.
This, that. And it looks like somewhere you could actually shop.
100%.
Just want to say.
So I can't even, like, get into what happened on the couch.
But without it being a department store where there's too much right. crap.
Crap. I can't really even get into the couch argument because I wasn't able to really truly follow. I just know, like, Crystal, like, saw herself in this argument and decided to get really upset.
Yeah. I think she just was really upset and she couldn't mask it.
Yeah. And she just, like,
it was just making her really upset. But also, like, some of the stuff she was saying, like, I can relate to the idea of, like, wow, you guys are being hypocrites.
You're invalidating Sutton's feelings.
Like, I haven't experienced, and I don't even know what I'm thinking about necessarily, but I do feel like sometimes you see a situation and it's like, wow, you guys are handling this so much differently than, like, how it was handled for me. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to that. But, like, when she started being like, this isn't a safe space for me.
And it, like, was giving distressed millennial and I was triggered and I had to go.
Literally.
It was giving safe space. I agree. Like, and then, but then I'm sorry. Then Dorit out millennialed her when she was like, I can't believe you would use the term safe space after what I've just been through. Like, really? That's...
No, it was all very distressed.
It was giving, like, it was toxic, like, woke, like...
My feelings.
Yeah, like, I need a safe space on campus. Like, it was really... It was triggering for me.
No, like, I agree, but even the fact that you would call it triggering is, like, the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
Of safe space.
And I you know what? Like, maybe she was valid in those feelings, but she did a horrible job at explaining to me because I have literally no idea still what she was so crying about. Like, yeah.
Agreed.
So it was a fine episode. I just really do love Kyle's house. Her dogs eating all the food was, like, the best storyline because that's the most relatable thing to ever happen on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Agreed, but the way those dogs just, like, she leaves them at home, the whole back is open.
Yes,
like,
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, my God, Bryce could never.
No, her whole
never
house
see Bryce again.
Is indoor, outdoor living. They go to this store opening, and she's like, hey, guys, I'm home, and the dogs are, like, in the middle of the golf course.
They're, like, very trained dogs.
No, they're not. That's what she was saying the whole episode.
No, but in the sense that they're not going to run away from home.
Maybe there's an invisible fence. That's what I was thinking.
If I gave Bryce an inch, he would would take a mile.
Of course, if I let Theo run through that house, I would never see him again.
They would be on the golf course in their golf carts, like taking selfies. We would never see those kids.
Never.
The Brassenstrassen.
And then Kathy Hilton and Paris Hilton were on Watch Happens Live. Was that a rerun?
That was a rerun.
Because I was like, why the fuck is Kathy on? She wasn't even in this episode.
This is Paris aired in November.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was when her wedding was. No, but it aired years ago.
I'm sorry. The clip of Garcelle on The Real and Kathy was like, did you get your invitation? She was like, I literally wasn't invited. Like, that was so awkward.
No, but that was so Kathy.
So Kathy.
I don't think she would have said it. I believe Kathy that, like, people didn't get their invitations.
I don't know.
No, I do, because why would she step in it like that?
Because, like, she wasn't thinking.
No,
like,
and I'm pretty sure I saw that look on Paris, like, when she filmed it months ago. It was a rerun, for sure.
It was a rerun, for sure. Yeah. And Gottmik, the bartender, was runner-up of Drag Race last season, who won the Snatch Game by doing Paris. So, like, it's, like, this iconic, like...
And Gottmik was her makeup artist.
Oh,
that's
no way!
That's how Andy introduced Gottmik. It was, like...
Wait, Gottmik was whose makeup artist?
Paris's.
Before Drag Race?
At some point.
Or did she do her makeup for that night?
Annie just said, Paris's former makeup artist.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That is so interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, so that's our show, our final show of the week. We're back on Tuesday after the long weekend. I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day. Stay safe. Be with friends. Be with family. Enjoy.
Drink spritz.
SpritzSociety.com. Our new variety packs are now available. If you happen to find yourself flying to Rome or Milan on a United flight out of Chicago or New York this weekend, you will find Spritz Society for free on board and in the lounges for, I think, $3, which is a great price.
I do hope you find yourself traveling to Milan this weekend.
Yeah, from either O'Hare or Newark.
I love that for you.
So we're now aboard United. We haven't spoken about that yet.
That's so
sickening. It's so sickening. The routes are really specific, so... Look at the, but if you're in the O'Hare or Newark lounges, they're in the lounges.
Have fun in Milan, you guys.
Have fun in Milan. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us the Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, about how stunning, and about how smart we are. Have an amazing Memorial Day.
Could I just say something?
Yeah, go. Quickly,
which is that if you're looking for more content from us for the 4 days that we are off, patreon.com/morningtoast has tons of podcast episodes. New podcast episodes are dropping. Claudia and I are about to record one right now. That's going to be so fun, so funny. We did two this month that are just general Q&As with the two of us, answering all of your burning questions. We actually talked about a ton of new stuff that we don't typically talk about. I did an episode with lactation consultant Chantal, who has been helping me in my journey, plus the 200 plus episodes that we've recorded over the last 4 years. If you are looking for more content, it is all there for you while you miss us during this long weekend. If you're taking a road trip, perhaps Patreon.
Perhaps Patreon. That's a great call. Have an amazing day, you guys. I'm ordering lunch, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Ooh, yum. Bye.
Bye.